Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. John Townsend. He is the author of Boundaries and many other books. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the award-winning writer of The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep. And glad you guys are here. Hey, look, I've got something. I brought a party favor. These are dog tags, and they have E and B. They are every man's battle dog tags. One is Job 31:1. It says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at another. Mm-hmm. And the other is James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. And when guys go to every man's battle, they receive these dog tags. This is what they get. And I have been all over this country, and I have had guys walk up to me and pull out those dog tags. Mm-hmm. They really do mean something. And I wanted to just pay tribute to these guys that have been messing around with pornography or affairs, mm-hmm. lust, whatever, and then within a matter of weeks, they're wearing some dog tags. They're no longer dogs, right? That's right. They really make a change. That is not an easy change mm-hmm. to make when you go from seeing women as objects and just they're there for your pleasure to seeing a woman as a real human being.
Mm-hmm. And what it does for the women, too.
Mm. Oh,
the women
yeah,
they relate
it's not
to
just
dating,
one
the married
person
to, or their sisters, or their moms, or their kids. Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is too graphic or not, but I imagine a woman who knows her husband's unfaithful mm-hmm. all these years, and now they're being intimate, and these dog tags are hanging around his neck. Yeah. It just seems like that would make it easier to
it feels safer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and not to be too lofty, but it kind of elevates womankind.
It
you
does.
Know, as people, unsuspecting women that have been objects out there.
Yeah. Heaven forbid that you should be too lofty.
I know.
It's a good kind of loft. Well, we're glad you're with us here today. And if you've got somebody struggling, wouldn't it be great to hear these things jingling in the morning around his neck? Well, often it's the woman who has to make the bold move and call us. About 75% of our calls are from women that are connected to someone with a problem. The son, husband, could be even a father, and it is amazing the recovery rate, the success rate of every man's battle. So if somebody's in your family, call us.
And women, to let you know, it's not about helping him get more self-control or more yeah. discipline or more right. cope. He will actually feel differently. He will feel mm-hmm. differently about himself and life and women. It's an internal change.
Yeah.
You want a new man. You don't want just a right. more self-controlled man.
Well, it's at Romans 12:2 where it says, be transformed
by the renewing of your mind.
By mm-hmm. and the best translation is actually by changing the way you think. Mm. Not changing what you think about, but changing the way that you think. That's transformation. To go from seeing something as an object to seeing something as a whole, somebody's mm-hmm. daughter. I think that's one of the ways that mm-hmm. they get into it, starting to say, this is someone's daughter, this is someone's
a whole person, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. That's Every Man's Battle, and you can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, let me just mention this. If you can help us, you know, Club New Life is such an amazing club of people who just regularly, every month, you've set it up to where you consistently give. So guess what we do? We consistently count on that foundation. And, you know, a few thousand people coming together, $30 a month, some many, many more dollars than that, but just $30, you become a member of the club. And you know, we want to reward you when you do, and so we've set up this, what you could call the New Life Library, and we've taken some of the best read books, most appreciated books of New Life, and the people that are on radio, like Dr. Amen, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Dave Stoop, these great, wonderful books, things like Forgiving What You'll Never Forget and How to Conquer Worry and Anxiety, Healing is a Choice, Take Your Life Back, Devotional, all these things. That's how we say thank you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Just got a note from a station president, actually a broadcast president, and he says this: "We're always glad to help out and serve. You do what we cannot. You're on the front lines with this, ministering one-on-one to those in need. I'm certain that every man's battle is ordained and necessary. We're losing a lot of great ministers and the laity to this type of thing." And then the manager of WCVX in Cincinnati says, "As I've expressed previously, I believed in the life-changing ministry of New Life for many years now. I'm so pleased that we could serve together in this amazing event." We did a radio event there. "I especially feel blessed by the testimony that you've shared with us, and I never cease to be amazed by God's wonderful mercy and grace. Please let us know how we can further be of service in the future. I pray continued blessing on your ministry and all the work that you do." We need station managers like Gaither and other people that support us in that way. We need your prayers, but thank you for the encouragement. We need that too. All right, let's go over here and talk to Frank from Amarillo, Texas. Hello, Frank. He listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Frank.
Hi, hello.
How can we help you today?
Yes, thank you for, taking my call. And, I have a question here. I have a sister, she's younger than me, she's her mid-30s. Okay, and, she takes care of my mom, and... I keep in close contact with them, okay, where I come from. I'm from another country, so. But, my sister, she was abandoned about a year and a half ago by her husband. Okay, one time, one day he got up, he went to work, and he never came back.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and, and she's very solid, she's Christian, very, and...
So did she divorce? Did she ever reconnect with him or?
Never hear from him again. Never did. She's still married with him because you see she's looking at all the options and there is a law over there that after 2 years, when somebody just abandoned you, then you are automatically you can file for divorce. And then
okay,
that's
so.
An easy Yes.
All right, so what's the question for us? You've got a sister whose husband was abandoned. How can we help you?
Well, I speak to her, and I want to know how can I, advise her. How? Because all the time I speak to her, this topic comes, into a conversation. How you doing? How's everything going? How are you feeling? And this and that. And, I want to be a, encourage her. And I do, I tell her, say... loyal, to God's word,
okay.
Pray.
Well, let me ask you this. Is she moving on, or is she still hoping he'll come back? Where is she in all this?
Well, she said that she wants, she's waiting on God. She's waiting on the Lord. She's praying, next year, I think in March of next year will be 2 years. So she said, I pray and I ask God, to give me a sign before that, if it's...
Okay, so she's waiting for the 2 years. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Frank, do you want us to tell you how to help her make this decision, or do you want us to tell you how to just be a good friend to her?
Both, really, both. Because I would like for her to to make the right decision. Okay, I would like for her to move on. And then, as a brother, I love my sister, it just hurts me that, she got into this situation,
And sure, we help him. Sure.
Yes.
What do you think's the best for a brother to say to a sister in this situation?
Well, what she needs is not to be in limbo, right? Right now, she's sort of in between and waiting, and so she's not really in control of her life. She's waiting for the clock to tick because she has a life. And a lot of people see life that way, Frank, like when the job comes through or the house comes through or the divorce is final, then I'll have a life. And if I were her brother, I would say to her, I want to help you. I want to be there when the, you know, when the time is due. But I want you to have lots of good friends right now and lots of support and lots of activities. I would push your sister to the right now, because God wants us to have a life that's not perfect, but it's one lived every day, and get her out of the limbo and waiting game.
It's good.
Well, yeah, and I think that she has to plan for both, Frank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's waiting to see what God will do, but right now it's looking like he is not coming back. And that is the reality. So to be moving on as if he's not coming back, knowing that at any point God could intervene. But I kind of like that parameter of the 2 years. You know, it's like, okay, she's going to wait for the 2 years and then she'll be divorced. But doing the growth steps in the meantime.
Yeah, the 2 years is a healthy margin.
Right.
So this hasn't been wasted Mm-mm. time, but now it's time to go to the next level. What would be a great book for him to give to her that would help? Healing is a Choice, I want to give, because
yeah,
that's after divorce journey.
Where is God? Mm-hmm. Has got a lot of information about
Where is
that.
God? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
When you don't know where you're going, where is God?
Well, let's add one more. What to do
when you don't know
when
what to do.
When you don't know what to do.
Or, no, what's your new one?
What do I do now?
What do I do now? I like that one.
The problem solving.
Can you remember
funnel.
All the titles? Rattle them off really quick.
Okay.
Let's
talk with Debbie from Diamond Bar, California. KKLA is a station she listens to. Hello, Debbie.
Hi. Thank you for your ministry.
You are welcome.
Well, I'll get to the result of my problem and then
okay.
the problem. The result of my hoarding problem is that my husband is very upset. And he took my son on a vacation without me because I didn't get enough cleaned up
mm-hmm.
before they left.
Okay.
And I had to actually drive him to the airport this morning because I couldn't get my act together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm so overwhelmed.
So he is really bothered by your hoarding. Are you bothered by it or just
yes.
bothered by the consequences of it?
Both.
And do you know the source of your hoarding? Why it is that you can't let things go?
I don't know why I'm stuck. I can't seem to get unstuck. I've prayed. I've had other people.
Well, we're going to help you right here.
Debbie, how mm-hmm. severe is it? Kind of give us a picture of severity.
Well, I've got clutter. I've got boxes of things. The garage is full of boxes. I have a storage area that's full.
How about the interior?
Can we walk into
How
your
about,
home?
Yeah, the interior
yes,
living spaces?
You can walk in. I've done reasonably well getting a lot of it picked up, but it's not perfect.
Like to say to your kids, I want you to have parties over here and sleepovers and
no.
movie nights. That's
no.
not happening.
No. And that's a problem for my son.
Okay,
okay.
So they're embarrassed.
What
to
have you
over.
Done to get help for this? What steps have you taken?
You know, I've wanted to get counseling, but my husband won't let me. He doesn't want to spend the money on it.
Do you spend money on the hoarding? Have you
some?
Okay.
Yes.
You have, like,
not
have
so
you
much
put,
anymore.
Okay.
So your husband says, "I want you to fix this, but I won't let you go get help to fix this."
Right.
I can tell you what the research says about that, Debbie, and that's pretty much it's almost impossible. That hoarding, they're doing a lot of studies on it,
mm-hmm.
and really people need to have somebody outside themselves to deal with the fear or the control issue or the loss issue or whatever, and they also need to have lots of groups to help them. So you might want to tell him that you've talked to some people that said that unless he can afford to help with that, you're pretty much hopeless. It's like saying I've got an obsessive disorder or I've got a depression. Well, you can't spend any money on it. Get your depression fixed. I mean, you got to get help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you figured out what it means to you? What that stuff means? Have you figured that out?
I'm not sure.
Does it mean that does it mean that your past will never be forgotten? Does it mean that you don't have to let go of some part of your life? What does it mean? Does it mean that you're safe because you've got this stuff around you? What do you think?
I don't know, but as a little girl, I remember hoarding stuff under the bed and different places. But
why do you think you did that as a little girl?
I'm not sure, but my dad died when I was six.
Okay.
That's a huge loss.
Do you know the feeling? Sometimes if we don't know what we call the dynamic, we're asking dynamic questions, mm-hmm. Debbie. If we don't know the dynamic, we can say something about the feeling. Do you know how it feels? I don't mean the guilt and the shame. Forget all that. That doesn't help you. But underneath all that, how does it feel when you have something and you kind of squirrel it away and you get 12 of them? There's a good feeling there.
I guess that I have it just in case.
Just in case.
I need it.
Okay, that's what squirrels do.
You provided for yourself in the absence of anybody who might care deeply enough to provide for you, perhaps.
Maybe.
Well, even with at 6 years old, the loss of your dad, yeah. I mean, you're ensuring that you're never going to be at a loss again.
Right.
Right? You're always going to be prepared. That's a huge thing that a kid doesn't understand, you know, and then has to deal with. Does that hit home at all, Debbie?
It sure does.
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? So you are prepared for anything now.
I try to be.
And congratulations, because you've survived. This is how mm-hmm. you've chosen to survive. It wasn't drinking. It wasn't smoking marijuana. You chose this as a way to survive. So now you've survived to this point, and it's time to move beyond this point.
Well, and yet, you know, when things develop when we're young, Debbie, you know, we need them. And so that's what you were talking about, Steve, survival. And so we develop, you know, coping mechanisms. The problem is when we're an adult, we often keep them because they become a habit and we no longer need them.
You know, Paul talks about that in 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians 13. He says, when I became a man, I gave up childish things. And we can't reverse that. We can't say give up the childish things and become a person. Debbie, we want you to get in a growth process where you deal with loss issues, this huge loss of a dad, the idea that you have no security except for those things you save. Those are very common hoarding sorts of issues, but you're going to need a trained person to help walk you through this.
You know, one of the things that helped me in the clothes area of hoarding is that I could have it, and then I'd know, even if I lost all the money, I'd have a coat to wear. But I was able to replace that thought with, there is a man out there on the street without a coat. Mm. And if I take this down to Goodwill today, that man is going to have a coat. And that's the way I started getting rid of stuff that I was just letting hang around on a hanger for years and years. The second thing was, if something really meant something to me, but it just didn't have a purpose anymore, I could keep it by taking a picture of it and then giving it away and letting some child use it or whatever. And I think, I don't know, just because yours is associated with your father's loss, I don't know if either of those would help you, but they were helpful to me at one time.
Debbie, the other part of this is there are free...
Right.
Clutter groups, hoarders groups, kind of Hoarders Anonymous.
Messies Anonymous
Messies
is another.
Anonymous, and they don't cost anything, and you can drive them from where you are. And so then you can at least find like-minded people that will say, this has helped me, I'll support you, and here's a tip, until you can get the professional help. But you really just have to, you will have to get professional help at the level you're at.
Fly Lady, isn't that I think Fly Lady might
something
be.
Like
well, you can go online, and they've got great material, but really about clearing out that internal clutter as well as the external.
Okay. So tell us what you might do differently. You called us, we gave you some advice. I just want to see if anything clicked.
I know a lot of that intellectually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why it's so hard to do it.
Well, you can't do it on your own. That's what we're saying.
Well, hold it, Debbie. I think you heard us talking about the result again. You called us and said, I'll tell you the result, the problem, which is my family left me on a plane trip, and here's the problem is hoarding. Then you heard us tell you the result, like a lot of work. But we were trying to get you back to, you need support, you need people around you, you need help.
So you have to look at the meaning.
I want you to look at your tendency to go straight to willpower, trying harder, instead of, I need support, care, grace, love, people around me. That might be an obstacle for you.
Yeah,
all right.
And I get the opposite from my husband.
Yeah. Well, you might want to set a date for a marriage counselor and tell him, I've got the appointment set. We need to go. That may be the first obstacle to overcome.
So Debbie, it's not first about getting rid of the stuff.
Hmm.
Go to a meeting. They'll help you develop the strength to then clear out the stuff.
We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'm going to go right over here to Darlene. Darlene from Denver, KRKS is the station. Hi, Darlene. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the air.
You're welcome.
And my question, I do believe I'm going through a severe emptiness syndrome here.
Really? Who's leaving?
Who's leaving?
Severe?
Mother left a couple of years ago. We've been together for 20 years, and all my children are grown up, and they're gone. Literally, they're gone. I mean, on with their life.
Okay. And so talk about that relationship with the husband there.
We have been divorced for, 17 years.
Okay.
So he's not in the picture. He's remarried.
Okay. All right. So the question for us is?
My question is, how do I get connected back with, I don't know if it's reality or what. I'm just doing this solo. I'm not looking for a companion, and I don't have a dog to walk.
But just to not be alone?
Back with yourself, per se.
Hmm.
Actually, darling, I wasn't thinking that was the solution for you. I don't think that's the solution for you, getting back in touch with yourself at this point. I have another idea.
Okay.
Think about your last 20 years. Mm-hmm. A mom I took care of and nurtured. Okay, you're a nurturer, right?
Right.
Kids that I grew up and got them launched out, and I nurtured them. You follow me?
Right. Yeah.
And you didn't have a partner during that
whole
time.
I didn't have a partner, did it all myself, so I had the double nurture role, and I'm thinking that a dog wouldn't do it, and a dog is something we also nurture. You have constructed a life of being a source of love, grace, and help for dependent things and people. Well, the answer to that is never get in touch with me. The answer to that is to get around people who have something to offer me who don't need me. Isn't that a wild thought? You laugh. Why did you laugh?
Because it is a wild thought.
Guess what? I counted the other day, and there's like 6 billion people on the planet. I counted like on a little piece of paper I had. And some of those would like you and not need you to take care of them. Can you imagine that? They're called grown-ups.
That would be awesome to experience that. I've been by myself doing pretty much my own thing as far as
Where do you you live in Denver?
I do.
It's one of the coolest towns in the country with art, great churches, sports, the mountains.
Lots of wild people.
Lots of wild people who don't need you to be anybody nurturing, who just say, you're an interesting person. Let's go do interesting things.
Well, I've never been to the mountains. I've been here all my life.
Wow. And you've never been to the mountains?
Never. I've been pretty...
Well, then, the Bible has a word for you, darling. It's called repent.
Repent?
Mm-hmm.
You
have to repent. That means change.
Okay.
Go the other direction.
Go the other direction.
Rather than walk a dog, you need to walk yourself up that hill. To the mountain.
I have been.
Consider yourself retired, Darlene. Retired from all of your caretaking.
So I'm going to call 5 people in my church or near my work or my neighbors and say, what do you guys do for fun? Because I'm horrible at fun. All I'm good at is nurturing. And they'll go, oh, my goodness, you will not believe this ski lift or this view or this hike. And you'll fight it, and you'll think, oh, my gosh, I'm being selfish or isn't there anybody to take care of. I don't know the rules because I'm so used to nurturing. But these friends will keep pushing you and say, come on out and have some fun. And in a few months, you will like Jill said, you'll be retired from the one, and you'll be into great relationships in the other.
Well, and that's how you'll get more in touch with yourself, by seeing yourself against the backdrop of other people and new things.
Darlene, I'm going to send you regret-free living. I think that there's a big world out there, and once you start to engage in it, your life's going to be totally different.
Well, I'm 50, so.
So you've only
You're only 50.
I'm 50. You sound like your grandma Moses.
I know.
I'm 50?
We thought you were older than that.
50 is the new 30.
We just assumed, didn't we?
Yeah.
No offense, Darlene.
I need to let my hair down, I guess. So I don't know. I take a step and I get cold feet.
Which means you've got to call. All right, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Now, you went to a lot of trouble to call us. So
I'm sorry?
You went to a lot of trouble to call us. And one of the things that Steve and Jill and I, one of our saddest things that we do is we spend a lot of time with somebody, and then they hang up, and we give them this great advice, we think. And then I'll see them in a seminar. How did it go? I didn't do anything you said. Yeah, I got tired, or I started watching TV, or
What'd you say again?
I ate pizza. Well, then we feel like, oh my gosh, we tried to care about this person. So I'm going to hold you accountable. In 30 days, you need to talk to 5 friends and tell them, I tend to get cold feet and I don't have fun and I act like an old person. I'm not. Will you help me? And call us back in 30 days and tell us what happened. You're now accountable.
Okay. That's what we want you to do. And join Old Persons Anonymous.
Former Old Persons Anonymous.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we've all
50.
It's easy to get in there. I mean, really, she's got at least half of her adult life left.
I'm sorry,
and more.
You've only got 40 years left to have a life. Might as well give it up. So,
hey, we talked to somebody the other day. 57 just got their PhD at 57.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There was a lady on last year, 92, got her PhD at 92. Because you're going to be 92 anyway. Might as well do it.
Why not?
We'll take a break. We'll come right back for the second half of New Life Live with Dr. John Townsend. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. We're glad you're with us today here on New Life. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. John, aren't there two types of hoarders?
Yeah, we had a hoarder call a few minutes ago. There are levels of severity, but basically, like if you watch the show Hoarders, we were talking about that. There's one type that says, I can't stop this. It's compulsive. You can take over. I'll go check in a hotel for a weekend. You guys come in and do it because it's like surgery. I can't do it myself. Yeah. And they're fine. And they'll have the deal with the internal issues. And the other type says, let me manage this. So you take 12 strawberry baskets out to the trash and they fall and say, well, I need those 11 and bring them back. Mm-hmm. And they fight the process. And
you know, it's almost like the first one you describe is almost like a procrastinating, messy person. Mm. But the second one is more really a real live hoarder.
Well, the first one just hates the effect on other people and doesn't want it and says, it's beyond me. The second one kind of like, no, it's not that bad really.
Is there a treatment program that you know about, or is there?
The research nowadays is saying that you've got to have several groups a week, a really good therapist, and probably some medication, and work really hard. You kind of have to make it the central focus. If you're severe, you can't be sort of like, well, I'll try it here and there. You have to really dedicate your life to it a while, like being an alcoholic. And then you can make real gains. But if you don't take the pill and start doing all these things several times a week, you really don't make any gains.
And trying harder on your own, just frustration.
Right. Or a one-time intervention where you go away from the weekend and they get it clean and you're a new person. That generally doesn't work because you haven't changed. You haven't changed inside.
No, they've just...
So that can be a good breakthrough, but you've got to have all the internal change at the same time.
Okay. All right. I think we can talk with, Andrea, Baltimore, Maryland. WRBS is the station. Hi there.
Hi. Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
I see you all the time on the radio.
Thanks for joining us.
My dilemma is that I have a question about whether or not I should date or remarry. My history is...
We think you should date before you remarry.
How's that in the best order?
Does
that help you, Andrea? If you remarry before you date,
it's a disaster.
It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, I have boundary issues, whereas I grew up in a household with a lot of kids, and it was a burden on my grandparents because she was raising a lot of kids, myself, my cousins.
How many total?
Oh, well, different age ranges, about 10 on an average.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot for grandma.
That is amazing.
God bless grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's passed on, but she used to raise her kids. And
let's talk marriage here.
Yeah, so fast forward.
During
my childhood, I always wanted the type of family I've never had growing up. So I've always wanted a husband and my kids. So as soon as I graduated from high school, I quickly got married and had a child, had two kids. Mm. And that marriage dissolved because he was an alcoholic, which ties into my natural mother. She was an alcoholic. Mm. So I divorced that guy, and then 20 years later, I remarried, and then more trouble came, and we were both Christians, and when this marriage broke up, it was really bad, and so I lost a lot of material things.
Well, wait, I thought you said you were both Christians. Didn't that
we
fix
were.
Didn't that
we
fix everything? Didn't that fix everything?
Yeah. Well,
Andrea, he's just messing.
Yeah,
because that's
poking at you.
Because a lot of people, women especially, if a guy says I'm a Christian, they're done. I mean, that's all they need to hear, and they
it's
don't
like nothing else.
They
mattered.
Don't check anything else out.
Mm. Well, we both joined the church together, and we were in our second year of marriage, and he started serving on a board, and then I started serving. So we were both active in the church.
Okay.
I'm going to answer your question that you haven't asked yet.
Yeah. Should I date? We're divorced now.
Here's my answer. Is not yet. Instead of dating, I want you to get into the growth process and fix these issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I've been attending some support groups, Al-Anon, for growing up in a household with, my mom did eventually get me. And she was an alcoholic, so we grew up in a house.
Here's how I determine all this, Andrea. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that says, okay, I've been divorced twice. It was a nightmare. I've lost everything. Before that person dates, here's what the conversation I'd like to have. So what are your themes or your issues? Well, I have three. Codependent, and I tend to isolate, and I'm scared of conflict, and I'm trying to repeat my past. Okay.
I have this idealized fantasy in my head that I'm looking to fulfill.
Okay, great. Those are themes. A lot of us have those. What have you done about it? Well, I've been to this and this and this, and here's the steps I took. Here's the insights I had. Here's the new behavioral patterns I had. Who's helping you? Pastor Smith, therapist so-and-so, and support group Sally and Kay. And how long have you been doing it? Been doing this many months. And who can tell me that they would vouch for you that you're now dating material? These three people would say I'm ready to go. Those are the kind of conversations I would go green light it.
Bingo! Whoa. The light bulb!
What was that?
I wouldn't share that with a prospective new husband.
No. Asking us, am I ready to date? I would say, no, this isn't about a guy. This is about you getting vetted and green-lighted. I am now qualified to date because I don't want to repeat my past.
Andrea, you keep looking for the right guy to fulfill your fantasy.
Okay.
Instead of John just rattled off really quickly a whole bunch of issues that you need to look at about you.
There's a big swimming pool of growth.
So that you're the right person
for
a relationship.
Yeah. Have you been certified?
No.
Well, you need to be certifiably dateable.
Oh my gosh.
And the program for certification, John has just told you. Now let's just give her three things.
You have to be a speed listener to remember.
Let's just give her three things for certification as certifiably dateable. And if you'll do these, we will send you the certificate that says you are now certifiably dateable, okay?
It'll be like on a parchment thing with a little gold star.
Yeah, and the guy walks up and says, hey, are you certified?
And the three of us will sign
it. You can show him your certificate. I am certifiably dateable. Okay, three things, John.
All right, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I can identify my main issues. I can articulate my issues, the ones that me and Jill just rattled off. We don't know you, but we're going to stab at it. Mm-hmm. But I know them well enough that I can say them. Number two, I am in at least weekly structured process to work on them with somebody qualified.
That's like counseling.
Like counseling.
Well, I'm there already.
Okay. Good.
But some people go through counseling and come out 2 years later and say, I don't know what my themes were or my issues. Well, no, you got to say.
Write them down.
I'm banging on this every week.
At least five.
Okay, so. Okay. And number three, I have people in my life besides that counselor who can say, we know Andrea's themes and we are helping her with them. And then lastly, there's somebody that can say, I now think you've worked hard enough. It might be your counselor, it might be your coach, it might be your best friend, but somebody outside your skin that can go, you're not a danger to yourself anymore.
Yeah, right. Okay, those are your three assignments. You get those done.
Yes.
And then you call us back, and we'll get you your dateable certificate.
And then
we'll talk about dating and remarriage.
And then we'll teach you, once you're out there and you've got your certificate, to when a guy hits on you, you go, excuse me, before I go out with you, where's your certificate?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Or are you still a nut?
Here's the thing, though. There are people that are married that don't have their certification. They're not certifiably married yet, and they need to go through that. And then the next step for her is to be certifiably marriable.
Yeah.
We're just getting you out there dating. There's things you have to do. You have to read boundaries is one of the certification requirements for it to be marriable.
Okay, well, very busy,
Andrew. Right there. All right, Andrew, you call us back. I'm going to send you a
time for dating yet.
Copy of Regret-Free Living. And what is the title we want to send her there? The new book is...
Now What Do I Do?
Now What Do I Do? Okay, that's coming your way. Well, I really do believe that this certification process could really help a lot of people. You're out there dating without certification. You have no business doing it. You need to call us and see if you can get certified.
So you're at the community college, and you're both taking a course in MBA, and he's interesting. You kind of like you get, and you go, excuse me, let me pull out my wallet card. I'm certified today. Are you? Yeah. Okay, let's go out. But if they're not, sorry,
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Carla from Anaheim, California, KKLA is the station. Hey, Carla, how are you?
Hi, doing good.
Now, are you certifiably married?
Thanks for taking my call.
Are you certifiably married?
You know what? I was talking to the operator, so I lost it. I don't know what that means.
We're trying to figure it out ourselves. Anyway, how could we help you today? How could we help you, Carla, today? How would that work?
Okay, so still on the marriage tone, I've been married for over 3 years now.
Okay.
And we did a lot of counseling before getting married, and we have a really good relationship, and we're friends, and we communicate a lot. But the problem I've been having lately is that, you know, he doesn't want to take the time to go on dates anymore. To where that's how, you know, before we got married, we used to go on regular dates together, and it's not that we don't spend time together, because we do spend a lot of time together.
When you say
we don't
that,
when
you say you want that, want dating, want courting, what is his response to that?
He just says, you know, he kind of just ignores the question sometimes. And then lately I haven't been saying anything, because the last time I mentioned to him, he said, you know what, I'm under a lot of pressure at work, you know, at the ministry.
Well, I thought you said this was a good relationship.
I don't want to come home and have more pressure. So I didn't.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking with Carla. Carla, it didn't sound like such a great relationship where you tell him what you need and he ignores you or tells you he's under stress at work. That just doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's the only area that you know, I see that we have a problem. And
so the
and
most important area is the only area. The most important one is the only area where you're treated like a whole person with feelings and desires, and you have somebody that wants to meet those and are excited when you get your needs met.
Yeah. So I basically don't know what to do. Obviously, I want to keep my marriage, and I want it to be strong. I want it to be like it was on the first month that we worked.
Well, nobody wants you to not keep your marriage.
I'm afraid that's going to get worse. So.
Yeah.
But, Carla, you know, I'm wondering if you have this idea that, oh, my gosh, if we are not doing our regular date nights, that means we're slipping, and then where are we going to be? Okay, which, yes, it is. It can be a measure there. But it sounds to me like your husband is hearing, it's another thing I have to do. So he's feeling demanded upon. You said you have a good relationship. Do you spend time together other than date night?
Yes, and, we do.
Okay.
We serve together at church.
Okay,
and,
but...
You know, we walk, to, like, we don't do, like, we do a lot of things together.
Okay, so Carla, during those times you go for a walk or whatever, don't call it a date night. Make it sound really casual. Hey, you know, I made us a picnic. Let's go down to the park. I know you've been really stressed out lately.
Okay. Yeah.
And really key into what he's telling you. See, part of why people start to separate is they focus in on what's important to them, and they don't study the other person and learn, oh, this is what he's telling me. He's telling me he's stressed out. He's telling me he's unsure of if he, you know, that he can handle it. So how can you move in and make his life easier and connect with him? So that he's going to then notice and want to connect with you. It's a relief, not a stress.
This is so funny because you're the gal,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the guy, and I'm thinking just the opposite of
yeah.
you because you're so easy on the guy, and I thought you'd be hard on the guy.
Well, okay, but are you going to get to the guy by beating him up and saying,
no.
we're not having a date night?
Wait a minute, I'm not...
I mean...
Not just,
yeah, don't be stupid, John.
No.
See, I'm beating you up, John.
Well, I felt that love. Carla, Jill and I have a little thing here because I thought that Jill was going to say...
That jerk?
I thought that Jill was going to say to you, you need to help him to pursue you. You need to be pursued, Carla. He's not pursuing you. And what you said instead was, Carla, you know, help him to feel supported and feel connected so that he will pursue you.
So, yeah, so that he wants to be. He's yeah. drawn to you.
And mine was more,
you're a haven.
Tell the guy to be a man and pursue his wife.
Hey, and
isn't that
here,
funny?
I have a thought.
Usually we're swishing around.
I know.
I have
yeah.
a thought. Which would you rather do? Sit in a theater, dark theater, watching a movie, or... sit on the couch with him for 15 minutes, eyeball to eyeball, him getting into your life, your feelings, those kinds of things. Which is more appealing to you? Sounds like that movie's coming.
I would say yeah. the second one, but I would also like
you'd
to
like
have
both.
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I tell
like
you,
both.
I think if you can get him and you together on the couch, eyeball to eyeball for a little while, it's more likely that then you'll get him to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And you want him to be interested in you, but he needs you to be really interested in him during those kinds of discussions. John, you have a thought. Your tongue's doing strange
well,
things.
Well, I'm thinking out loud. Have we got time on the show for Carla and me to do a role play?
Let's do it.
Carla?
A short role play, yeah.
What, like 10 seconds?
No, you had a minute.
Okay.
A minute.
All right, Carla, this is called a role play. You will be your husband, Bill, and I'll be Carla. You hear me? You be him.
Say, okay,
Carla. Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to come to you, and you say whatever he says. He's stressed, and he has a ministry, and I'm going to come to him. I'm going to tell you what to do. All right. Bill, I'm just feeling like I need to spend more time with you where you're pursuing me. So can we work that out? Now, you say whatever he would say.
You know, we already spent time together, and I don't think it's necessary, you know.
Now, I understand that. I want you to hear my heart, Bill. I know you're stressed out, but I need you, and I need something from you. So what can you do to not be stressed out so that you can want to spend time with me? Do you need a break? Do you need to carve out better boundaries in your ministry? I need you, and I want you to hear that your wife needs you. Can you do that?
Yeah, I don't know what his response would be.
Find out.
But I sure want to find out.
Find out.
Yeah.
Use those words.
All right.
Every man, God built it into
yeah.
him. He has a desire to pursue his wife and be intimate with her, and you've got to carve that out with him.
Because it's not about the date night, it's about that need. You need
him.
You do.
Carla, we're glad you called us. I hope that is something that will be helpful to others. The book that you'd like her to have that might help her the most.
Loving People, which loving spells people. Out the connection.
Given the choice between hating people and loving people, we believe loving people works.
What's the better book to read?
Yeah.
Hating things people do to each other.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going through, but most likely, if you're like everybody else, there's something. I really hope you've enjoyed this classic New Life Live program. We love getting to go back and using some of these programs that we did years ago. It's amazing how similar the problems are because we are still human. And evolution doesn't seem to, if you believe in it, doesn't seem to be getting us out of our major problems. We just get deeper and deeper. Seriously, you know, we're not making much progress on depression. So many people have it. It's not fun. But I appreciate all of you that support this ministry. You're really helping us help other people. I don't know of any other time when people have needed more help. This is the time that we have been able to help and reach so many folks in new ways because of your support. Now, let me tell you something. If you were able to send a gift of any amount, I'd send you this great little 12 gifts of life recovery book. It demonstrates that recovery isn't just about giving up an addiction or codependency or something like that. It's about receiving something better. All these gifts from God to those courageous souls that are willing to do whatever it takes. What a great moment it is in your life when you say, okay, God, I'm surrendering. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. Well, any amount of money that you can send us, I'm going to send that to you to say thank you. Now, when you join Club New Life, $30 a month, I'm really going to say thank you. I'm going to say thank you by sending Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Amen. I'm going to send Growth Has No Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. I'll send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook, one of the most popular books ever at New Life. Emotional Freedom Workbook by Connie Neal and myself. Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, Dave Stoop's book, great book. Forgiving, What You'll Never Forget by Dr. Stoop. Healing is a Choice, my wife and I wrote that together. Take Your Life Back, Day by Day, the devotional that goes with the book, Take Your Life Back. All of that just to say thanks for becoming part of Club New Life. And then before we go, I just have to remind everybody, we've told you about this. It's going to happen. December the 5th, we're putting together the Intensive of a Lifetime. This will be live. It'll be online. You can access it. Never easier to hear and then to work with a clinician right afterwards to hear. Dr. Daniel Amen, he's going to be talking about the brain and how we ought to treat it and how we mistreat it and don't do that anymore. Then we're going to have Dr. Henry Cloud talk about boundaries. Dr. John Townsend is going to talk about boundaries. And I'm going to talk about battles. It's not just every man's battle. It's every woman's battle, too. So we'll talk about those battles. And then Sheila Walsh, formerly the host of 700 Club, great, wonderful woman of faith speaker. Sheila Walsh is going to bring in and teach some great, great Bible teaching. If you want to be part of that, you better sign up now. Early bird special still in, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join me for brains, boundaries, battles, and the Bible. Thanks for joining me. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jill. And thanks to all of you who support this ministry.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.